The woman who is the focus of our story today has one advantage that most of the people thronged around Jesus do not have. She knows that she needs healing. Most of the people in that throng around Jesus, they need guidance. They need direction. They need redemptive power. They need to marshal their energies toward the call of their God, but many of them do not know it. They're just there, caught up in the excitement of the social scene. But this woman has been suffering a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. She knows that physically she needs healing. But she knows more than that. Because of her condition, she has been condemned by her religion as unclean, as profane, as unfit for company. So not only is her body diseased, but her soul is scarred. She needs healing of her body, but she also needs healing of her soul. All she wants to do is to touch the fringe of Jesus' garment. And her ambition, her presence in that crowd, answers a question that we often do not ask ourselves. Why are we here? Why have we risen out of bed and come to this sacred place for worship? Have we done so out of habit? Have we done so we can see our friends? Have we done so because we'd feel guilty if we did not? Why have we come into this sacred place? The woman's presence around Jesus answers that. She has come because the depths of her soul cries out to be in touch with the profound call of God. The depth of her soul cries out for the real healing power of God. We should come into this sacred place to connect to God's deep summons, to realize that the deepest impulse within us can only be satisfied by the deepest call of God. And that our energies can only find true satisfaction when they're directed toward the service of the kingdom of God. This woman is amidst that throng because it's the only place that can answer the deepest impulse of her soul. Now, there are those who say that even though we feel this urge to connect to a God of meaning and purpose, there is no reality corresponding to God. The famous biologist Stephen Gould said, "Yes, we all feel the urge for meaning and purpose, but there is none." But Gould spoke from the perspective of an atheist. So he was half right and thus all wrong. It is true that the human soul feels this urge to commit to profound meaning, to direct its energies toward a profound purpose, to feel the deepest summons of the divine. That is what it means to be human. And the truth is, even if people don't believe in God, they acknowledge that all of life and all of humanity bears a sacred imprint. Some years ago, a young man, very disturbed mentally, got a hold of a gun, went onto the Northern Illinois campus and killed several students, badly wounded several others. One more string in a long string of mass shootings. And a few days later, the campus gathered in the gym for a basketball game. But before they could cheer the steals and the shots, they knew they had to acknowledge the sacredness, the importance of those lives that had been lost. There was a moment of silence. Why? If life is meaningless, if our existence is purposeless, how could those tragic murders be, how could they matter? Everyone in that gymnasium knew that something wrong had happened, and they had to observe it. They had to mark it. They had to honor it. They had to honor every life. They had to recognize that event. Whether they believed in God or not, they were engaged in a spiritual exercise. Because the divine imprint of God was upon every life as it is upon the entire cosmos. The whole world bears the imprint of the reality of God, the deep divine who summons us in our deepest being. There's a corollary to this. If we do not direct our deepest energies, our ultimate allegiance toward the profound call of the divine deep, then we will direct our energies toward lesser deities. If we don't pour our energies in that which is highest, we will pour them into deities that are shallow. You don't believe me? Turn on your television. Look how we have turned every single pursuit into its own religion, into its own faith. You like cooking? Well, you can watch a station that for 24 hours a day will teach you how to saute and souffle to your heart's content. You like shopping? Well, there's a network that will cater to your shopping instinct 24 hours a day. You like sports? There are networks that will repeat the same highlights hour after hour after hour. You like golf? Well, there's a network that will spend all day hawking products that will make you swing, allegedly, like Tiger Woods. You like politics? Then you're one sick puppy. But there are stations that will feed your desire for the latest political news all day long. We have turned every menial pursuit and passion into its own faith, its own religion. And all of those are an inadequate impulse trying to distract us from not allowing the deepest part of us to respond to the deep call of the divine. Deep calls to deep. And so often we feel that deep call and we pour it into energies and pursuits that are shallow. If we do not render ultimate allegiance to that which is ultimate, then we will render it to things that are not worthy of our true allegiance and energy. My daughter is here this morning. And she, growing up and still is, a great Harry Potter fan. I probably watched Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone at least 100 times with her when she was growing up. But there's a scene in a Harry Potter movie that speaks deeply to me. Young Harry is about to do battle with a huge serpent, a basilisk, with deadly eyes and poisonous fangs. And as he is about to engage in this very unequal battle, he remembers something that his mentor Dumbledore said to him. Hogwarts will always provide for those, will always provide help for those who ask for it. And in that moment, as he faces this huge deadly beast, a phoenix comes flying in to blind the poisonous eyes of that great serpent. And a hat delivers a sword with which he can do battle against the beast. And when he kills the beast but is mortally wounded in the process, the phoenix returns to shed tears over his wounds and redeem him from death. And Harry realizes he is living in an environment that is constructed to offer him help when he needs it. That's why that woman is in that crowd, reaching out to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She realizes that the God who fashioned the universe has constructed a world where help is provided for those who need it. Jesus says to us, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." Our Lord spreads the gospel. The God of this universe has created a world where if you ask for help, you will receive it. The psalmist says, "I look to the hills, whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." The woman and the psalmist understand that the universe has been constructed in such a way that our strength comes from the deep call of the divine. If only we ask it. But the woman and the psalmist are not just saying something profound about humans, they're saying something profound about God. God has constructed a world where if we ask for help, God's Spirit will provide it. If we seek God's truth, God's Spirit will reveal it. If we knock, asking that our understanding be open, God's Spirit will open our minds. God has constructed a world to meet our deepest need. How often do you really allow the Spirit of God, the deep call of the divine, to speak to the deepest part of you? How often do you allow your heart to be connected to the vitality and the energy of the Spirit? How often do you feel yourself called forward by the values of the kingdom, which are the very great themes of life? The very desire of our God who summons us out of the deep call of the divine, speaking to the deepest chord of our souls. Come, give your life to me. Come, direct your energies toward me. Come, allow me to make you a new creature through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. How often do we allow the Spirit of God to expand our imaginations of what we can accomplish? In Mobile, Alabama, there's a great big World War II battleship called the USS Alabama. And next to it, there's a military museum filled with all kinds of multi-million dollar military aircraft. But my attention was drawn to a little craft that was not even 40 feet long, not much more than 10 yards long. And it was 2 feet high. It would be like crawling inside a tire. And I imagine if you and I crawled inside that tire, we could spend about 10 minutes there tops. And if they close both ends of that tire, we could probably spend about a minute in that little bitty space. Imagine 9 people in that less than 40-foot long craft that's 2 feet high, closed up in it not minutes, but hours. It would have been a ghastly place to sit. It would have been a ghastlier place to die. And yet they entered that craft knowing that would probably be their fate, because the first two prototypes of that craft had sunk and drowned both crews. But this little craft, pedaled by 8 people for motion and steered by 1, they were in that little craft for hours. You know what I'm talking about. It's the first submarine in the world, the Confederate submarine, the Hunley. It was the first submarine in history to bring down a ship. But of course, when it brought down the ship, it also brought down the sub. Think about it. 9 people in this little tiny craft sinking to the bottom as it fills with water. What a horrible way to die. Why would they even do it? They did it because there was something in their souls that called them to try to do something that had never been done before. Some of you might know that that little crypt stayed in the silt of Charleston Harbor for about 100 years or more. And then it was found and raised, and the heroes inside buried amidst honor. Why did people gather? The war they had fought had long been lost. The cause they had fought for had long been discredited. But people came to honor them because these men represented that instinct in the human spirit to expand the dimensions of what was possible and to do something that had never been done before. To what degree do our spirits remain open to the summons of God to explore the spiritual frontiers of our lives and to do things that maybe we had never imagined we could do? To connect to the reality of God, to be energized by the vitality of the Spirit, to be impelled by the values of the kingdom, which are the very fundamental values of life. Our ambition should be that woman's ambition who touched the fringe of Jesus' garment. We should want to hear our Lord say to us daily, "Go in peace. Your faith has made you whole." May we pray together. Lord, may we daily approach the fringe of your garment to touch you, knowing that indeed you have power. Knowing that indeed that power is real, and the truths of your kingdom are real. Call us away from those things that would focus our energies, that we would give direct attention to that which is ultimate, the call of your kingdom. May your Spirit issue the deep call of the divine, and may it strike a chord deep within our soul. Through the name and the power of the Christ we pray. Amen.